Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, May 10th, 2018. I'm Mary Sherman. Senate Democrats want to force a vote on net neutrality, fairness demanded for jailed women who can't afford bail, and Uncle Sam no longer wants to hear complaints about student loans. Those stories and more coming up in today's rundown. And we start with the Senate, where on Wednesday, Democrats formally launched their push to bring a vote on restoring net neutrality protections to the Senate floor. Calling it an issue of fairness, Democrats argued that the FCC plan to scrap net neutrality would hurt consumers while protecting large corporations. The FCC voted in December to repeal the Obama-era net neutrality rules on the grounds that they harm innovation. Democrats will now officially push to force a vote on net neutrality under the Congressional Review Act, but the resolution would still need to be passed by Congress and signed by President Trump, which many say would be unlikely. Advocates say too many moms in Arizona will spend Mother's Day behind bars simply because they can't afford bail. The story from Catherine Davis Young.
Living United for Change in Arizona, or LUCCHA, and the ACLU are collecting donations to bail at least one woman out of jail in time for Mother's Day. Nicole Hale with LUCCHA says cash bail systems end up being less about a person's crimes and more about what's in her bank account.
If you are a rich person, you can easily bail yourself out. While you're a poor person, you're going to get stuck. You're not going to be able to pay that. And then that puts you at risk of losing your job. If you're a mother, you're talking about losing custody of your children. And you're talking about showing up to your court date in orange clothing and chains, which is not going to help in the case.
The number of women in local jails nationwide has been increasing for decades, and the Vera Institute of Justice reports nearly 80% of women in American jails are mothers.
In other criminal justice news, a new report says reforming probation practices for juveniles could increase their chances for success. In the past 20 years, juvenile justice system reforms have led to far fewer young people being held in juvenile detention centers. But the report from the NEE Casey Foundation says little has changed in the use of probation for young people. According to Steve Bishop with the Casey Foundation's Juvenile Justice Strategy Group, probation is too often used as another form of punishment.
The research we have by adolescent development is pretty convincing that young people respond better to rewards, incentives, opportunities, experiences, things like that, that better motivate them than the threat of punishment.
The report recommends transforming juvenile probation from a system based on compliance and sanctions to one of incentives and individualized goals. President Trump will likely meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un for the first time in Singapore, although the date and exact location have not been revealed. On Wednesday, Trump ruled out the demilitarized zone, which separates North and South Korea, as a meeting place. The meeting will be the first summit between a sitting U.S. president and a North Korean leader. It's just 6 months until the midterm elections in November, and experts say America's voting infrastructure remains extremely vulnerable to outside interference. We go to Mark Richardson for the details.
A recent congressional report found that prior to and during the 2016 presidential election, there were dozens of attempts by hackers, believed to be Russians, to break into the voting systems of several states. Danielle Root, voting rights manager for the Center for American Progress, says although there has been some progress, many states still have not taken the necessary steps to protect their election systems.
The primary concern is over hacking into voter registration databases. And the fear is that they could infiltrate these systems and delete or alter voter registration information that would prevent voters from casting ballots on Election Day when they show up to the polls.
Root says digital voting machines, especially ones that do not produce a verifiable paper trail, are vulnerable to electronic break-ins. She adds that computers used to tally and report votes are equally at risk, and that until cybersecurity measures are improved, the only way to ensure a safe election is to use paper ballots. She says while some states are making election security changes, at least a dozen still exclusively use highly vulnerable electronic voting machines without a paper backup system.
The Federal Consumer Financial Protection Bureau closed the doors of its Office of Students on Wednesday, an agency that had been put in place to handle consumer complaints regarding student loan companies.
According to the Center for Responsible Lending, Americans have $1.4 trillion in student loan debt, with the average student borrower owing $30,000 when they graduate. Whitney Barclay Denny with the center says the office performed a vital service.
The Office of Students was created to not just help educate borrowers about their student lending, but to enforce fair student lending practices against predatory for-profit colleges and predatory student loan servicers, and they've been very successful in doing that.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was created after the Great Recession in an attempt to protect consumers from fraud and unscrupulous activities of lenders. Also this week, the U.S. House voted to eliminate CFPB guidelines drafted in 2013 to combat racial discrimination by auto dealers that secure car loans for customers. Supporters of the rollbacks say current regulations are a government overreach. This is Stephanie Carson reporting.
In health news, the CDC is reporting 28 more cases caused by an E. coli outbreak linked to tainted romaine lettuce, making it a total now of 149 cases. One death's been recorded in California. The CDC said four more states, Florida, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Texas, have been hit by the outbreak, bringing the total number of affected states to 29. I'm Mary Sherman. Thanks for newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service, where we're member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.